It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Holly Randall Unfiltered is brought to you by Adult Time. Created by award-winning filmmaker and previous podcast guest, Bree Mills, Adult Time is a streaming service exclusively for adults. Adult Time is a platform where mature audiences can access a huge variety of premium adult content. Dubbed the Netflix of porn, Adult Time offers an extensive catalog of over 180 channels, 60,000 episodes, and at least 5 new releases every day from some of the most recognized studios, including Girls Way, Pure Taboo, Burning Angel, Fantasy Massage, Vivid Entertainment, and so much more. They also have exclusive original series, feature films, and much more. Get 1 week absolutely free by creating an account at adulttime.com and using the promo code Holly. That's ADULTTIME.com and use the code Holly. Today, I have a full house. This episode is so packed with incredible talent that even I can't believe they managed to all coordinate their schedules to come on to my show. If you've listened to previous episodes, you may recognize them as they have all been on before. Director Bree Mills and award-winning performers Seth Gamble and Angela White. So if you've been following Bree's career at all, you know that her company Gamma has been really driving home the idea that they can revolutionize adult entertainment. Their new streaming platform Adult Time, an official sponsor of this show, by the way, is showcasing all kinds of new original content that is mostly masterminded by Bree herself. So today she's here to talk about her newest erotic film, Perception. This is a movie so different than other porn that I almost hesitate to call it that. Actually, fuck that. Part of my mission is to destigmatize the industry I work in, so let me embrace the word porn and tell you that this is a pornographic movie that is also a psychological thriller showcasing some of the most incredible performances by my other two guests, Seth and Angela. The writing is brilliant and the concept is incredibly unique, but I don't want to tell you any more because trust me, you don't want me to spoil the plotline for you. So without revealing too much about Perspective, Bree, Angela, and Seth are going to talk about their process behind this film, what the project meant to them, and of course, give us some funny and surprising behind the scenes stories that should give you guys an idea of some of the crazy shit we have to go through to try and get a high-end porn movie made. This episode is a fascinating and keen insight into adult production, which I think you will find surprising and definitely entertaining. So let's welcome Bree Mills, Angela White, and Seth Gamble back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. Hey, everybody. I am so excited. I have a super, super special episode today, and I have quite a full table of some really significant members of the adult industry, and we're here to talk about a revolutionary new movie that was just directed for Adult Time. So I've got Bree Mills, the director, and I've got Seth Gamble and Angela White here, and thank you all so much for coming on. I'm so excited about this. So I just watched the movie, like I watched it in bits and pieces from yesterday because I got it yesterday. And so I watched like parts of it, like while I was like in the bathroom and like while I was like doing this or doing that. And so I just literally finished it like right before this podcast. So I'll just give a like brief you know, summarization of what the movie's about, and then Brie, you can probably fill in all the blanks. So it's the it's called Perspective, and that makes a lot of sense when you watch the movie because it's looking at a relationship from the wife's point of view, who's Angela White, and the husband's point of view, which is Seth Gamble. And from Seth Gamble's point of view, Angela is this cheating, manipulative, emotionally unavailable wife. And then from from Angela's point of view, Seth is a controlling, manipulative, basically abusive husband. And the way that their stories unfold is really, really interesting because it's following the same narrative, like the same chain of events kind of happen. But, you know, they both obviously see it from entirely different perspectives. And so I have to say, like, as a standalone film, this could definitely just be like a mainstream movie. But it's a porn movie, so there's sex stuff in there. So I guess, Brie, why don't you start? You want to tell us about like how you came up with this idea and then how you kind of shaped this movie into being?
Sure. Well, it's actually a project I've been thinking about since last September. I tend to be the type where once I've closed the chapter on one project, then I kind of am ready mentally and creatively to start on the next. So I think we had just wrapped Anne. And I was sort of starting to let my mind percolate about what was going to be next. And I knew I wanted to tell a story about about relationship dynamics. And I wanted to tell a story about infidelity. And I knew, having worked with Angela on The Weight of Infidelity as a project, was something that was a very, I would say, a real highlight for me in 2018. And I left that project very hungry to work with her on something even more extensive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Angela is like a tour de force. You know, she's sort of conquered the world in every way, shape, and form. And I know that, or certainly, you know, my intention was, I want to write her something really, really good. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, with everything else she's bringing to the table this year and beyond, that, you know, we can show the world how much talent she has as an actress. And so I knew that within like the sort of theme I wanted and the story I wanted, I knew I wanted Angela as the lead. And then likewise, you know, Seth and I have worked really closely together over the last couple of years. We've done a lot of episodic work. And I knew that he was the male actor that I wanted to cast as the lead in my next project in general. So I kind of went into September knowing, okay, here's the theme. Here's the two people that I want to write a story about. And, you know, my intention was I want to make, if I can do anything, I want to make a really good film. Mm-hmm. If that can be the most shocking thing about this project, as I tend to have that reputation. I want the most shocking thing to be that it is a really good film. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of my projects originate from some personal place.
Right.
And certainly the two films I did this year, Teenage Lesbian, which also comes out in September, and Perspective, are both very personal projects in different ways. But for me, I've been kind of fascinated by an experience that I had in my own life where, in fact, very much if you watch the opening of Perspective, the whole discovery of the affair that Jennifer is having on Daniel, I mean, essentially that is something that happened to me in real life. Mm-hmm. And almost kind of shot for shot. And, you know,
talking about from the first part, from Angela's perspective or from Seth's perspective?
From Seth's perspective.
So,
you know, in a way, we call him Good Daniel. Good Daniel's experience at the beginning of the film is largely based on experience that I had myself. In that experience, what has sort of resonated with me in the years since is that kind of moment or the idea of what do you do when you discover a secret? What do you do when you discover that the person you love and the person who's supposed to be loving you back is keeping something from you? And sort of like what does somebody do in that moment? Because we all think, you know what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. But it's this sort of really quite complicated moment. And in my own experience, you know, when I discovered, when I sort of stumbled upon a secret that was being kept from me, my reaction was paralysis. Mm-hmm. You know, and paralysis and sort of going into getting lost in the investigation of trying to understand the depth of the destruction, or like the how bad were things actually underneath my nose, and you know, not saying anything yet. You know, that kind of state of what do? I have this, I in a way have the power here. There's been this shift, but what do? And you know, I wanted to tell that story because I think that's just a really interesting emotional dilemma that many people in one way, shape, or form have faced in their life and in their past relationship. And as I was sort of following Good Daniel's footsteps and writing the first half of the story, one of the other personal things that struck me again from my own life was, you know, at the time that I ultimately confronted my partner at the time, you know, it wasn't in quite as dramatic a fashion as it happens in perspective. I can assure you all it's okay. But, you know, what I was sort of stunned by was it doesn't matter how just you think you are or like how right you think you are. There's always a different perspective. And, you know, once I got to that point in the story, and started to play around with the idea that, you know, no matter how true you think your side of it is, it's only one side. That's what led me to think, well, what if I literally made the concept of perception like a literal theme for the film? And, you know, to go back to the beginning of the same story and tell it again. But even though it's the same place and many of the same people, a very, very different universe.
And
you know, when I kind of hit that idea, that's when I knew, okay, this is going to be an interesting one. And it, to me, opened the film up to a few really important opportunities. It became a space where all of the actors in the film would play two distinct characters. So not only does it become a creative vehicle for Angela and Seth as actors, because, you know, that's my whole gig. I want to challenge my actors, and that's why I wanted them for this role. I wanted to challenge them like never before, but it became a vehicle for everybody in the film to be challenged. And then it also gave us a great opportunity to take our audience down a journey and then do the bait and switch and to leave people thinking and affected. And, you know, we all went in for the first half of this film to make the audience feel such tremendous empathy for Daniel, and to, even at the point where he does bad things, to understand and relate to it, so that by the time the confrontation happens and you go back and you realize, wait a minute, what? I've just spent the first half of the film relating and, you know, feeling a kinship with a mad person. So I thought that would be really interesting to do sort of as a sort of psychological thriller. And then, you know, like I said, my challenge for myself this year was like, let's make the most shocking thing be how good this film is. Let's invest all our energy, everything I've learned as a filmmaker, into trying to make this a beautiful and really interesting film. And that's why we decided to primarily shoot the project as an independent R-rated film. So it's, you know, the film that you screened is going to be submitted to film festivals this year, is going to be submitted to mainstream aggregators as well, to try to get some mainstream distribution. And again, can we put out a piece of work and a piece of art that, you know, can transcend the stigmas that exist around the adult industry, and the fact that, you know, if we can get people to watch this film and be blown away by it, and then be, oh, by the way, yes, those happen to also be adult performers, you know, can that kind of help continue to move the needle for what, you know, at least certain kind of creative types within our industry are striving to do, to show the world how much talent we have.
Yeah, I have to say, and I know I brought up this film a lot of times on this podcast, was you, I feel like you've definitely been doing that. You've definitely been straddling the line between like mainstream and adult, and changing the way that people are seeing porn movies. And, you know, I've been in the industry for a long time, and this massive shift in the feature story and the narrative, and, you know, bringing on like really incredible actors, and like this whole like, oh my God, porn stars can act kind of thing. It's been a really fascinating process for me to watch. And The Weight of Infidelity is a scene that I brought up a million times, because it is the first time that I've watched a porn scene that moved me to tears. That has never happened before. And at the time, I remember even thinking to myself, I'm like, I'm crying over a porn movie. what is happening. Like, this is a very distinct moment. So, yeah, so I really applaud you on that. How did, I guess Seth, we'll start with you. How did you feel when you first were approached by Bree about the project?
I was excited about it. I mean, I think we had talked about it probably the end of last year was the first time we talked about it. And, yeah, I was just really excited. And, you know, she had also told me that I was going to do this with Angela, and I thought that was like a really dope opportunity. And we just both happened to win Best Actor and Performer of the Year last year, which yeah. was just kind of like it. I don't think, and we were actually told, I was told about this before that happened.
Right.
So that it, like, it's kind of cool that didn't really, wasn't the vehicle of it.
Right.
It just kind of was like already in Bree's mind.
Did you win Best Actor overall or Best Actor for a particular movie? I forget how it goes.
Well, I mean, I won Best Actor for AVN.
I've never won an AVN award, so I forget how this works.
I mean, it doesn't really. That wasn't the point I was trying to make.
My question was just because I know you did the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Well, so.
Which was like kind of similar, like going back and forth between two different characters, and I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, so I won for Deadpool, mm-hmm. but I think that it kind of had to do with the fact that I played both those movies simultaneously mm-hmm. at the same
right.
time.
Right.
So I think that. It was like, oh, he went here and he went there. Mm-hmm. I think that might have played a part.
Mm-hmm.
But what you know, the point I was just trying to make was it was cool that that kind of all transpired, so it kind yeah. of worked out that way.
Yeah.
But when I found out about it and I got the script, it just it moved me, you know, because I've witnessed a lot of abuse in my life. You yeah. know what I mean? I've witnessed. I don't think anybody really showcases what it actually looks like.
Right.
You know, and I'm not that kind of person. So it's really easy for me to, like, find what that looks like.
Right.
Because I feel like people who are actually – I don't think someone can play that role who's actually go there, mm-hmm. who actually is that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they can't see it within themselves.
Right. It's very much acting.
Yeah.
Do you – so. Did you find it a little bit discombobulating to play both roles? Because you guys shot – Bad Daniel and Good Daniel, like you have days where you'd shoot both of them on the same day, right?
Yes.
Did you have like a hard time being like, okay, now I'm good, now I'm bad, like going back and forth between the two?
I wouldn't say I had a hard time going back and forth because I was just all messed up during that whole movie.
Did you come out of that movie like questioning who you were?
I came out of that movie going to set and having panic attacks before I started doing scenes.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I was using my... How do I explain this? So everybody, you know, it's very obvious. It's very open that I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Right.
So because I'm a recovering alcoholic, my alcoholism lays in my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into alcoholic thinking mm-hmm. for like 2 months.
Right.
So I was going down the rabbit hole of each character for months.
Yeah.
So then when I came out of it, I had to reshift the way I thought.
Right. So were you like purposely allowing yourself yes. to have that kind of thing
yes.
because you knew that that would get you into the role?
Yeah.
How did your sponsor feel about that?
He thought it was just really risky.
Yeah, <that's-
laughs> yeah, that didn't come up though, like the wanting to drink or anything like that. Didn't really come up.
But
it
was just this suffering. Our addiction just, like manifests itself in different ways.
Yeah. So I just put myself through a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
I was going through. I think. You know, recently, I think a couple weeks ago is when I finally felt normal.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a journey.
Yeah.
Angela, what about you?
This was an incredible journey, and I think we both went to some pretty dark places to play some of those scenes. But obviously, it was an incredible honor to be asked by Bree to bring this story to life. And we worked together like a family. Like mm-hmm. by the end of the movie, I felt like everybody that was involved, the entire crew was dedicated. Everybody was very supportive of each other. It really felt like we came together to make something special. Mm-hmm. Filming, going back and forth between the two characters was definitely a challenge. And it was tough because it wasn't like we were able to film all good Jennifer at the start of the day and all bad Jennifer at yes. the end of the day because we had different nighttime scenes with both characters.
Yeah.
So it was literally good, bad, good, bad, 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 good, bad. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a little great little.
Is that why you had – so Angela, if you're not watching this on video, you can't see. But Angela's got this little binder here.
And it's a big binder. It's not a little binder.
So, and you color-coded the good Jennifer and the bad Jennifer, right? This is how, this is why we love girls like Angela, because we're so fucking organized.
There's no way that you couldn't be organized on this project to make it a success. So everything's color-coordinated, and so bad Jennifer. I don't like using the terms bad Jennifer and good Jennifer because it's very reductive, and both of the different versions of myself had more depth to that, but for ease of discussion, we have called them good Jennifer, bad Jennifer, good Daniel, bad Daniel. But even like the thoughts for my character in this diary, like it's one side is the blue, which is good Jennifer, and then the other side is red. So
Jennifer. What exactly, what does that notebook contain?
This contains all of my character's thoughts. So I went to an acting coach for this, and she recommended that for each scene that I break it down and just write every single thought that my character has in that moment. Mm. And she just said, you know, the only things that you're allowed to think when you're in this character are your character's thoughts. So I'm no longer Angela White. I'm not thinking about whether I'm cold. I'm not thinking this or that. I'm thinking my character's thoughts.
Oh, wow.
So this is Jennifer Morris's diary.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
And it's funny because, you know, and I said I wanted to challenge these two.
Right.
Mm. They took me up on the challenge. I've never seen two actors on any of my productions or any other, you know, productions I've been a part of. I've never seen the level of commitment, the level of preparation. I mean, they both worked independently with acting coaches. They did, combined sessions. We held discussions and rehearsals. The commitment level on set. I mean, if we look at some of the outtakes, these two were right there for each other every step of the way, doing whatever the other person needed to get them to that place. Mm. And, you know, it was a really, it was an exhausting 2 weeks.
And how many days did you shoot?
We shot 8 days total over 2 weeks.
Okay.
Like often days and nights.
Yeah. So long days.
Including one day that just never, ever ended. So when Angela says we were like a family, like, we were like, we were sort of like all on this ship that was off in the middle of the ocean for 2 weeks it was like madness, you know. But like also as kind of anxious and high intensity and high emotion as the environment had to be because of the story we're telling, the level of support and trust and unity in the production will make it something that I don't think any of us will ever forget. Mm-hmm. You know, and certainly I will never forget what these two did for this film. This film is Angela and Seth.
So when you talk about the one day that will never end, you guys all kind of looked at each other and laughed. Can you tell us a little bit about why, what happened that day?
But you can't talk about that day without talking about the 2 days before.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So it was like 3 days that never ended.
I try to pride myself on organization. And, you know, this film had a lot of pieces. And we brought in a lot of color theory into the cinematography. And
I noticed that. I noticed in the kitchen scenes, Daniel's perspective, Angela's perspective. You know what I mean? That the lights in the kitchen specifically were very different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could do like a full like frame-by-frame analysis of all of the sort of thought and theory behind each of the composition and the color theory and the wardrobe and the way Seth's hair was, like all the details. We had chosen a location for the Morris house, Jennifer and Daniel Morris's house, that was sort of the primary location for the film because a lot of pieces take place there. And I did not want to shoot it in a conventional location that's used for a lot of adult stuff. I wanted to make it look fresh and different. And I found a new location and everything seemed great on paper. And they were great on the first day. We went through, we were shooting stuff. And then we had a visit by the police at about 8 p.m., not for the reason that you would think normally on an adult set, but because they had been alerted that there were, like, you know, there was, like, underage drinking or partying happening.
Was it probably just
it had nothing to do with us.
It wasn't even your house.
Well, I mean, it had nothing to do with our
crew. Well, the fact that, like, there's people talking late at night.
Well, this was pretty secluded. This was a somewhat secluded estate.
Weird. No.
So the cops show up. It's about 8 o'clock. The cops show up, did a walk through the house because they were checking for underage drinkers. Obviously, there were no minors whatsoever involved in any aspect of the production. As soon as that visit happened, we were like, okay, we're done for today. Mm-hmm. And the homeowner was very apologetic, explained that it was a mistake. It was a call down the street and the cops had come to the wrong address. Everything will be fine tomorrow. So we show up the next day and we shoot and things seem fine. They're going well. And then at about 10 o'clock at night, like 100 teenagers start showing up on the property to have a rave. And so, you know, I'm not kidding. Like we're shooting dialogue. We're there.
Thankfully.
I think Abigail had just shown up. She's, you know, has is the supporting actress in the film. And we were just starting to work through her scene. And then we just noticed lights outside because there were glow sticks, you know, because they were having like a rave. And we kind of realized, we go out there the big burly guys on the crew kind of go out there to see what's going on. And the homeowner casually informed us, or like the homeowner's cousin, or like it was sort of run by a pack of cousins or brothers or something. Oh, so like one of the relatives announced, oh yeah, you know, we're throwing a party. And we're like, we're shooting a film. But obviously, you know, as soon as the party started, it was time to go. So we packed up our stuff for the second night and drove through the swarms of clearly underage drinkers that, you know, I suspect he may have had coming to his location on a regular basis. And I don't suspect, I think it was the first time he had ever rented his location for, we had got it off a mainstream production website. Yeah. But I don't think he had really done that before. And I think he was doing a lot of double bookings, or who knows?
Or maybe, because I find that this happens sometimes with location owners, they think, oh, you're shooting an adult film, so like there's no quality control, or like you don't care what happens.
Yeah, well,
it's a big like orgy party, right?
Yeah.
Well, take your job seriously. So we had a rave outside.
We had gone in and like they knew we were shooting a mainstream film, but I mean, again, I don't think they really understood anything. So on the third day, we were left with, oh my gosh, we have to shoot. We've already committed so much to this location. We can't like fake that, you know, we can't move this anywhere else. We have to finish. We don't know what else is going to happen because at this point, every day was bringing a new surprise. And we had lost hours on the first 2 days of shooting. And so we all rallied and shot the longest day and night in history. We all left when the sun was coming up. And the scenes that you see at the beginning of the film, in the confrontation in the kitchen, in the beginning of the film, and then obviously the other side of it that happens halfway through, where Daniel gets particularly aggressive. We shot that at about 5:30 in the morning, like with everybody on their last nerve, like just not in a frustrated way, but just in like a just exhausted, frazzled kind of way.
Yeah.
And now when I look at that, I think that I actually find one of the most unsettling moments in the film is in that the first time we meet the other side of Daniel and when he confronts Jennifer in the kitchen. And I know that we were so running on fumes at that moment that it actually like it translated into such an anxious moment in the film,
right,
which I think adds so much to the story. But the real life was that was 5:30 in the morning. And like literally Seth was just getting the last screams out that he could before like collapsing, you know, before we all like, and you know, Angela is just being like battered, like verbally, as, you know, like we're all just filming it like this. So it was, you know, it was, and we got the hell out of there and we'll never go back, you know, but it was, I think a testament to, that's not the type of set that I like to run.
Right.
We were all kind of like, we have to get through this. Next time, maybe go back to those houses.
There's a reason why we shoot at those houses all the time.
Exactly. But we made it through. But that was probably, I would say, like, that was like the height of anxiety.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I find that usually the biggest problems that I encounter with productions is locations, is location issues, owners, police, next door they're building a house and nobody told you, stuff like that. So I can totally relate. And it must have been difficult too, because it's like, you have so much to shoot, right? You want to get out of there. You know, everyone's exhausted, but you're dealing with a very like emotionally charged film. You can't like really rush Angela and Seth like through these moments. And I noticed that you were very careful about a lot of the camera shots, a lot of close-up shots, a lot of like foreground framing stuff. So, were there times that you were tempted to be like, oh, fuck it, just like film it this way? Because I feel like I totally do that. I'm like, I just wrapped a Wicked movie a couple days ago. And I mean, we only went 15 hours, which I know like really isn't that bad in the usual adult space, but I'm a baby. So by the end, I was getting like really irritated and I was like, just fucking shoot this. Mm-hmm. So do you find that you have a difficult time with that? Or are you so committed to the final product that like you just are able to power through?
The further along this journey I go, the more that more projects I shoot and the more we learn, the higher and higher and higher my ambitions get. Mm. Which is actually something that I have to keep in check. For me, I would go till my face fell off, like to get to create the piece of art that I'm looking for. And it doesn't have anything to do with commercial success, or it's really driven by just trying to get what's in my head out and to make these films. I can't expect everybody to be on that exact same page. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair to assume that everybody is. So that's, I think, where, as a director and even just, as a showrunner, I have to accept that. But at the same time, it's hard to accept that when you know what you're capable and what your folks are capable of. So it's, what I was saying, or one of my big takeaways from this film was we all put ourselves, raked ourselves over the coals to make this. And if, the extra effort that we put into making a good film and releasing it as an R-rated film and all of that, if that can pan out, well, then that's going to give the leverage I need to go and negotiate, a production that can be shot not in 8 days, but in 20 days, right. Or to get a little more budget to invest in the areas of production that are going to help elevate what we're doing. That to me is like, this kind of pushed, I think, everybody to the edge, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't go any further than we went here. But I hope that it will result in allowing us to be, to be treated and to treat our productions more with the same attention to detail and time and investment as our mainstream counterparts get to do.
Yeah,
what a joy to be able to shoot 1 to 2 sequences in a day and make them amazing.
I know, right? It's it's like, usually mainstream productions spend all day shooting what? 5 minutes, 3 minutes?
Yeah, something
like that. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
It seems like an unattainable world.
Well, one day, we just got to keep getting the word out about perspective. People watch the film, like the film, and then we can keep making more films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, too, like, I understand, there's nothing worse than kind of rushing a piece because you're so tired and then looking at it later and seeing, like, where you could have put that extra effort in where you didn't, and then just like kicking yourself because now it's obviously too late.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think Seth or Angela would have allowed that, even if we were all crumbling. They were so strong throughout this. They were, when I was like, mark it, I like that take, they're like, let me see it. Can we do one more? Mm-hmm. They were so committed and so involved. And, this was something that I think the energy and the desire to make this the film that it is was absolutely shared by the three of us. That really kind of helped, us push forward in a lot of moments where other actors may have been like, okay, this is too much.
Yeah. Well, Seth and I, even before we began shooting, we were already so invested in the project. Seth and I were meeting each other at each other's houses for rehearsals. We were going to coaching together. So we were, even before the first day, we were so committed, dedicated, and invested in it that there was no way that we weren't going to put everything on the line for this movie. Yeah. So, and I have to say that it was such an honor to work with Seth on this, because every day he would make me proud. There were moments where I was almost in tears watching the playback and going, okay, I can't ruin my makeup because we have to do another scene. But he was just, you're just amazing.
I appreciate that. You're amazing. You're making me emotional.
You're inspiring.
This super emotional movie. It just was. It was just the whole experience was. And it was like amazing to be able to like, you know what I mean? I think it was like, it was a very big responsibility to be put in a situation where they're like, okay, we want you two to play this role, and we're actually going to try to, you know, push this towards a mainstream audience. And
did that give you more motivation?
Yeah, I mean, it just like,
because you felt like, okay, this might reach a wider audience. Yeah, like, this is kind of an opportunity for me to really show how I can be so much more.
Well, I think in general, to show like that we're so much more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. I love what I do. Like, I like the fact that I get to act and have sex while I do it. I think mainstream kind of loses out on that. You know, that's just my thing, you know. And I think that there's a lot of, if you watch a lot of mainstream movies, like, people want to see what's going to happen next, but you just don't get to, you know. And I think that, so I don't have, like, if that was ever an opportunity in my life to, like, do mainstream, that'd be great. But, like, I'm cool with where I'm at. You know what I mean? I like our little family that we get to do this with. And it's cool to be able to do this, have this experience with Brie and Angela, who, like, you know, I respect so much, and I wasn't going to do anything less than try to kill myself for this role.
Right, right.
But I don't do anything less than trying to kill myself for anything.
That's true.
So that's kind of how, like, it is. And, like, you know, it's, I just wanted to bring the best, my own energy, to bring the most out of everybody else around me.
Yeah.
And that really means more to me than what it entails for me.
Right.
I don't have any, I'm just glad that I was able to bring that, both those characters to life. And, you know, it's just, it's really interesting to watch the second part. You know, the first part, it's like, it's hard to feel bad for myself as the character of my, you know, playing it, but like watching me play the bad side of that character and treat Angela that way. And like, well, Jennifer that way. It was just, it's interesting to see, like, cause maybe someone out there who does that kind of stuff will be like, what, am I like that?
Right, right. Because, I mean, every, like, man,
you know,
every abusive boyfriend, husband, whatever, has, like, their reasons.
Yeah, and
I can think of an incident very recently.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where people are like, oh, it didn't happen like that. This is actually what happened.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like, if you weren't there, you actually don't know what happened.
No,
you know what I mean? There's always two, and like you said, there's always two sides to the story.
Yeah, and I think I think to show it in a visual way, I think in some ways, yes, it's triggering, but I also think it's in a way, like, maybe it'll set someone back and be like, wow, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that might be a perception too of like, you know, do I ever get that way?
Yeah.
Because
I think one thing that a lot of people lack, that is something that I know that you and I, like, personally work on a lot through our 12-step program, is looking at things from other people's perspective.
Yeah.
And not, like, always, you know, and seeing, like, what your part was in something.
Yeah.
And that is something that so many people do not do.
Yeah.
And the world would be a much better place if people could, you know, get out of their own head and try to see. Because, like, everyone, so I was married before, and our marriage fell apart, and we went to therapy for a while. And one of the things that the therapist said to me that always stuck with me was, you know, we tend to expect other people to react to situations in the way that we would react. But you have to forget that everybody's different. Everybody has grown up with different life experiences. Everybody is, you know, chemically different in their brain, like different hormonal levels and stuff like that. So if somebody may do something that, you know, I react this way, that doesn't mean that the other person is going to react the same way. And that doesn't mean like they don't care, or it's, you know, all of our reactions are built upon so many little nuances and different things. And I just think it's like one of the things that I think everybody would be a better person working on is looking at things from a different perspective.
I think also people, when you can say something and someone hears something else.
Yes.
All the time. Because they just hear something else. It's like,
right.
And that's something like, you know, with this character, like, you know, there's subtle differences with Jennifer and with Daniel. Like, yeah, I push my hair, but like bad Daniel was left-handed and like good Daniel was right-handed and like Daniel, good, bad Daniel kind of stood up.
Wait, did you really do that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't.
And then good Daniel's like standing up straight and like bad, good Daniel's always like kind of has bad posture.
Right.
And bad Daniel, it's like there's these little nuances that you add into these little characters. So
was that your idea?
Yeah.
And then did you also do that? Did that also help you differentiate between which character you were playing? Like, was there like a brain, like left, right brain thing that you, okay.
100%. So it's like, there's little nuances like that, you know, just someone who is like really into movies would be like, that's something, obviously I have the platform to talk about it.
Right.
But that's something that I feel like is such a subtle difference. Cause like there could have been, you know, you think of like a basic way of playing two different characters. It's like, okay, I'm going to wear glasses here. I'm not going to wear glasses here. I'm going to, you know what I mean? I'm going to wear a blue shirt here and a red shirt here. I'm like, why change it that much?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because my energy as Bad Daniel, you can tell that I'm a completely different guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That,
and then with Jennifer and Bad and Good Jennifer, you can tell she's a completely different person.
Right.
Because the demeanor is completely different.
Mm-hmm. The thoughts are different.
The thoughts are the way we think, the way, and everything is based on our thoughts.
Yeah.
Before you say anything, you're thinking something.
Right, right.
You know, so, and that's also like, you know, credit to, you know, the acting coach that we got to work with together. It's like, it just added a new layer for me.
Right.
Of like how to like, wow, okay, I can use this crazy brain to go through these things. Oh, now I just got off.
Benefiting you now.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and it's really cool. And like, you know, Bree's just so one of the most creative human beings. And like, you know, just when you're working with her too, she gives you that energy. Like, I'm that way. Mm-hmm. Like she said, oh, like I would have worked another 10 hours and I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I don't think about that.
Right.
And when Angela's in a project, it's like the passion's there. It's like, we don't like, why are anybody's like, oh, what are you doing? Like you knew this is what we're doing.
Yeah. It matters like, so much to have people, you know, in your crew and in your cast who see things the way that you see. Cause there's nothing worse than having like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
People. When are we wrapping? What time?
Nobody was like,
no one was like,
what
that.
Time can I call? I got to call my Uber. What time are we done? I have something after this.
Everybody on the crew,
the
cast and crew, was entirely dedicated to this project.
Yes.
There was nobody complaining about time. Everybody was supportive when Seth and I would be like, let's do one more take. Let's try it one more time. Let's try it from this angle. Everybody was supportive in doing something again, even though obviously that's going to take more time. It's going to be longer on set.
Right.
It's like discussing moments. Like, we wanted to make every scene a moment.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, you watch a lot of things and you're like, wow, that was such a good moment.
Mm-hmm.
We want the whole movie to be a moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? We want the whole thing to just, you know, and to do that, you have to be there in that.
Yeah.
You can't be thinking about anything
out
of the whatever, the circle of it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what it seems to me too, and having never worked on your crew or anything like that, but you seem to be very inclusive in like sharing, you know, awards and accolades with your crew. I've always noticed that whenever you win at industry award shows, you bring up like everybody in the crew, like everyone. So everyone gets to go on stage and share in that moment of glory. And I think people really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, it's just the right thing to do.
Right.
Because the movie wouldn't be made without this sum of everybody coming together. And, you know, it wouldn't, you know, look the way it does without our director of photography, or without our lighting and sound engineer, every piece is a really vital piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So they deserve the recognition as much as me, in my mind.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back. So hang tight.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code HOLLY, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code HOLLY. Okay, so we're back. And I wanted to ask you two about your relationship a little bit more with this movie. Had you worked together pretty frequently before this movie came along?
We worked together. But nothing extensive like this.
No.
So do you guys feel like a kind of camaraderie and closeness now that you've done it? Like, has your relationship changed in a way?
Yeah.
Like survivors of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I don't think we freely texted each other before. Now it's like this going on where we'll be like, hey, you know, this is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's cool. Like, she's a wonderful person.
Yeah.
Like, beyond a performer and everything else, she's just a wonderful person. Like,
right.
I mean, she got me through really, 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 I was really having a hard time.
Yeah.
Some of that movie.
I can imagine.
I was really hard time.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful I've been gone through it. Because it's like, it's all growth. You know what I mean? Even through those kind of things, it's like, I'm having personal growth through this like non-real thing that's kind of real.
Right.
And it's like really cool. And, you know, Angela like really, really was there. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about Seth.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we grew together for this project.
Yeah.
We went through a lot. And Seth took so much time out of your days and weeks to come to my house and to rehearse with me. And, you know, it's a very emotional movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through the gamut of emotions together.
Yeah.
And I had to say some pretty awful things to him as Jennifer. And I just want to take this moment to apologize for everything I said to you as bad Jennifer.
There's like legit parts where like, you know, you're watching me have sex and she's saying those horrible things to me. I'm actually having sex.
Yes.
That's crazy. Like, I'm staying hard and having sex while she's saying these horrible things to me.
Wow.
It's like,
that is great acting.
Like, I'm like, wow.
It actually gets worse. In the version you saw, you don't get to see all of the really horrible things.
Because I just saw the
Jennifer. Jennifer really digs in and.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like that trust though, to be able to be like, you know, she's not here, but like Alina, like there's, you know, there's a scene where she gets smacked.
Yeah. I thought Alina did a great job. I've never really seen her in like a real acting role. And I thought she was Alina Lopez, for those of you who don't know who we're talking about.
Yeah. Alina Lopez. And it was crazy too. Cause it's like, you know, me and Bree were both like, you know, we'll figure it out in like a, you know, theatrical way and all that. And she was like, no, I want it to be real.
Wow.
And I was just like, Are you sure? Luckily, I had a lot of experience with BDSM and smacking, so I'm not going
to
hit her.
You know how to like hit somebody without really
without hurting, but
damage,
still,
right?
It's still like, you know, that's a moment where you're just like, whoa, and like the fact that she trusted me, you know, in that situation is just like, I mean, it's a testament to what she wanted to put in this project,
right?
And that's just, you know, and it was such an interesting dynamic to have sex with Angela and Alina from these separate kind of vibes. I'm like having sex with Alina and like I'm getting rougher with Alina and she's saying all this crazy stuff to me, so I'm like, what are you doing to me? Like, stop it. I'm back there. It was just such a crazy version of like sex that I've never experienced, but I actually weirdly enjoyed.
I mean the uncensored version of that scene is really awesome.
Yeah,
where it's like you're having this kind of high energy sex scene, and then all of a sudden it cuts to this red tinted, kind of like almost like a JOI POV cuckolding, like Angela just, if anyone is a fan of Angela talking into a camera and you want to be a little cuckolded, you're going to want to see that scene because it is like, whoa, it's so awesome.
I cuckolded my own mind in this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what it looks like. It looks like I'm cuckolding myself by my wife while I'm not. It's so trippy. It's trippy.
Yeah. You know? So, you know, you just mentioned that it was a very emotional movie, and I wanted to ask you about about some of it. So I saw the R-rated version. So like we kind of chatted about before we started, I wasn't entirely sure which moments actually led to a full sex scene or which moments were just like, you know, there was some sexual interaction just to drive the narrative forward. And there were some moments that, you know, I found like were kind of disturbing, you know, and I was just wondering how you handled, you know, sex scenes that could be quite triggering. I mean, mm-hmm. because the second, I mean, ultimately it's about a man who abuses his wife. I think we can assume at the end, is that okay for me to say what the end
yes.
is?
Yeah, because this is going to come out as the
yeah, but
comes out.
Right, but like I don't want to ruin like spoiler well, I mean,
not,
alert.
Okay, maybe not the ending. Anyway.
Okay, yeah,
maybe
I'm
not
like,
the final.
Should I maybe? Okay, all
maybe
right,
we'll
we
keep
won't
that
spoil it. Yeah, because I don't because the ending is a
it's a
know,
deuce.
Wraps everything up.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so essentially, you know, he's an abusive husband, and then that kind of leads into the sex scene between the two of them. And I guess that actually ends up being a full sex scene. So how did you navigate like that murky place? And I know that you're like the queen of pushing boundaries and, you know, doing sex scenes that really like are very edgy, mm-hmm. to say the least. So how did you manage that? And do you feel that like as a woman, that was something that you could explore much more easily than a man?
Mm-hmm. Well, the second half of the film from Jennifer's perspective is it's a survivor story.
Right.
And, it's actually a story about following somebody as they summon the strength to do something that's very difficult and very traumatic and essentially kind of, to save themselves. Mm-hmm. And we see Jennifer go from a point of real insecurity and vulnerability to a real point of empowerment as she's sort of and in a way she comes to that. Yes, she is supported and she's guided, but she's pushing herself out. Mm-hmm. We're watching somebody push themselves out of a very destructive situation. And so I didn't want to sugarcoat it, and I didn't want to also paint a portrait of an abusive relationship that was going to come off as feeling cliche. Abuse is, as everybody knows, comes in many, many different forms. And in the case of Jennifer and Daniel, the abuse is primarily mental and emotional abuse and control and threats of violence and moments of violence and that entire kind of mind fuck that keeps somebody like Jennifer, who, you know, was probably at once a very sort of strong, ambitious young woman, but ended up getting kind of dragged to this really low emotional point. So I wanted to show that for what it really is. And I think that Seth and Angela did a very, very difficult but very important portrayal of an actual abusive dynamic. Mm. I think on both sides, actually. And we all knew that it was going to get to places. And we knew that Jennifer's character is, you know, is consenting to the relationship she's in as a sort of to survive through it. Mm-hmm. And the moment when she discovers in the moment in the closet, where she sort of discovers that, Daniel has really, really, really crossed a line and she's starting to put the pieces together. And that actual sex scene that happens is the moment, I see that as being kind of the Phoenix rising moment in the film and in her journey, where she realizes, like, I'm going to get him out of here and then I am going, this ends right now. Mm-hmm. So what we had originally written that scene, or I had originally written that scene to be kind of a brief moment with a little bit of sexual activity and...
Yeah, because it looks like just one position, right?
Well, a little bit of... I actually had originally just written it as a confrontation and then a blowjob. Well, let me... I'll explain that a lot. I was like, well, let's sneak a little blowjob into this movie. A little kind of aggressive blowjob. And I wanted... The whole idea was like while this... You know, what I wanted to create was like while this was happening... that she was having these sort of visions in her head of what she had discovered, and that at the end of that, she's like, okay, this is it. Like, I'm done. Mm. That sort of, so yeah, a moment of empowerment would come out of this encounter with her, you know, with her husband. And when we were gearing up to shoot this film, which was actually on the third day, the day that never ended. And this shows the level of commitment.
The day of two scenes, the day of, as well.
Yes. So Seth and Angela came to me and they said, you know, we really feel that it would be important to show this as a, to do this as a full sex scene. Mm-hmm. And that it's an opportunity for them to, because, you know, in the first half of the film, they have a sex scene within, you know, Daniel's perspective that allows them to sort of both be their characters. And they didn't really have that in the second half of the film. Mm-hmm. So they suggested, let's bring that in. We really feel it would add a lot of value. And in fact, we want to make it kind of this power play moment where, you know, Jennifer decides, I am going to do this with him, but this is like, I am so done. Mm-hmm. At the end of this, I'm out of here. It's like her moment of like where the sort of moment of truth. And when we were filming this sequence, it was really incredible. The room was blue outside and the closet was like red. So we were all in this completely tinted world. Mm-hmm. And the sequence had, you know, Jennifer in a panic running in, making this discovery. And then in his most sort of sinister moment, Daniel coming in and them having this confrontation. And Seth and Angela were off to the side. And we were, you know, we had everything set. And they worked out a way to hype themselves up for the emotion of that moment, which I think involved having Seth spit mm-hmm. on Angela. Mm. So you have to imagine I'm sitting here with my monitors in this blue
God,
room.
I forgot about that.
In this blue room, in this blue and red world, you know, in this frazzled state, while all you hear is hyperventilating and spitting coming from the bathroom. And then Angela running in a panic and doing, in essentially one take, and then Seth coming in with my favorite line in the film, which was the I hit a deer line, which for me is actually the creepiest part of the whole film. Is that
yeah.
And then that, of course, sets off the wheels in motion in Jennifer's head as to what her husband has actually been doing, and her moment where she's like, I'm gonna get him out of here and then I'm going to leave.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's easy to write things off as shock cinema. It's really easy to write it off as, oh, it's an edgy scene. To me, it's the most powerful scene in the film, in terms at least of the sex scenes. Like everything we do, we make sure that something could have complicated emotions behind it. We don't shoot anything where somebody is outright saying, I do not want to do this, or non-consensual.
Right.
And Jennifer's character was sort of seeing, I need to get him out of here. This is how I'm going to get him out of here. And then I'm going to make my exit plan, which she then proceeds to do.
So for you, it's kind of more of like a empowering moment than a moment of her just like acquiescing to.
Oh, absolutely. It is literally the phoenix rising from the ashes. And at the end of that scene, which I don't know if we.
So do you think that that's portrayed better in the sex scene, like in the full version, as opposed to like.
It's portrayed a little bit more thoroughly, because obviously you see the sex scene take place. But it's sort of supported by what happens in the sequence after, when she's with the therapy group and she has that. You can see the change that has happened in her character afterwards.
I thought it was really interesting, too, the juxtaposition from Daniel's perspective, that she was going to a orgy party sex club, and when you find it's actually like a therapy group.
Yeah, Daniel's lost his mind.
Yeah, but it's almost like that's more intimate than like an orgy party. Mm-hmm. Like that's more threatening to him than if she was actually just going out and having sex with a lot of people.
That's why people are dying.
Don't look at me like that. I have to say, I was watching it. I was watching, you know, The Bad Daniel, and I was like, I don't like this set. That's such a nice guy. I don't like this set. This is a bad set.
I loved in that scene, though, that in that therapy group, you know, there are the subtle reaching out and touches from each person in that circle, you know, which relates back to that orgy with all the hands all over my body.
So. Right.
Yeah.
I like that it's a movie, like if you watch it like three times, there's still something you might miss that you can watch again. You know, it's kind of cool. It's like,
And it was interesting, too, how the end, and again, I won't say what the ending was, but the ending didn't end up being what I thought it was going to be. Because actually, Angela walked it. So I was watching the last 5 minutes, like I said, before you got here, and Angela got here first. And Angela walks in. I'm like, I'm watching the last 5 minutes. She's like, okay, I'm not even here. And then I see the moment where they go into the house. And I'm like, oh, I know what's going to happen here. And I was wrong. And I was wrong. So I feel like that ending, I don't know. Did that ending in a way almost, I don't know. I don't want to get too into this because I don't want to spoil it. But did that ending in a way almost mirror the first part where we see good Daniel, where like maybe he's not everything that we think he is in bad Daniel. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think the ending reveals that it doesn't, again, within both sides of a story, you know, there's still like, this is still a couple that are deeply entangled in each other. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what is, you think the story is going to end a certain way at the first half. You realize by the end of the film what actually he probably did. Well, what actually he did. And how, in a way, that's sort of a worse form of revenge than even what you thought in the first. Because now he will never leave. She will never be rid of him. Because...
I thought that was the really best moment.
Yeah.
It's his final power play.
That's true.
He won't let her leave.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess we can't say more about that.
No.
I'm like, ugh.
So you guys will have to actually go see the movie. And where will this be available?
So this is the X-rated film, which is released in 4 episodes. But it's going to be binge released on Adult Time on September the 26th. And we also have an R-rated cut that is currently being, as I mentioned, we're seeking mainstream distribution outlets and festival inclusion for it. And we are doing a film premiere for it as well in September at a theater in Hollywood.
Oh, cool.
And... But starting September 26th, we're also going to be giving away free week subscriptions to Adult Time so that we can invite as many people as possible to come in and watch this incredible, very moving film.
Fantastic. And you said that I could give away maybe some of those to some of my listeners?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, I'll have to figure out how I'm going to make that happen. We have to figure out some raffle situation. So just stay posted, guys. I will let you know. Just really quickly before we wrap up, because I know that you weren't working on this project the last time I had you on. Can you explain to everybody what Adult Time is?
Yes, absolutely. So Adult Time is a streaming service for adult audiences. So we, unlike a traditional adult pay site, our vision is to create a platform that will include a really wide variety of progressive, interesting, artistic, high quality, and diverse sex and sex-related content. So, you know, it sort of stems from the vision that we believe we want to celebrate the fact that, people should be entitled to watch sex in their cinema and in their television. But that starts with those of us who are creating the content itself to create really interesting shows and films. And that's the goal of Adult Time. So we have a catalog of over 60,000 different pieces of content in there. All of my content is in there. We also feature, it doesn't just have to be explicit content, anything that's sex or sex related. And the goal is really to kind of create a new generation of an adult online experience or platform for people who enjoy, watching something for more than just the 30 seconds in the bathroom on the way to work.
And speaking of... just adult-related shows, Holly Randall Unfiltered will have its own channel on there as well.
Yes.
So we're super excited about that. And I love, too, how you're really bringing in all the genres. Like, you have, a plus-size girls channel, and then you have Transfixed, I think, mm-hmm. which is your transgender series, and all these others. So really, like, people with whatever your tastes are in terms of adult content will be able to find it on Adult Time.
Well, and it was a big thing for me this year to... also create high quality, or I guess you could call it like premium series for marginalized model communities within adults. So mm-hmm. those who do not traditionally have as much reach or visibility or aren't picked for mainstream projects. So Shape of Beauty features plus size performers and Transfixed is pairing trans women and cis women together, which is very difficult to shoot beyond a couple of progressive companies like us that are doing it and challenging a lot of the stigmas that exist in our industry.
Because that was a huge no-no less than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, nobody would shoot trans content that was mainstream. Like, it was unheard of.
Yeah.
And now, I see this huge influx of people doing those kinds of scenes, and it's amazing to see. It's really great.
It's you just need to create something, really beautiful and really inclusive and treat it with the same respect you would any other model group or any other project. And I'm really proud of the results and the success that Transfixed has had in its first year.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Is there anything else you guys, Angela, Seth, you guys want to add before we close out?
I just want to thank you, Bree, for inviting me to be part of such a special project. And thank you, Seth, for everything that you did for me and with me and for this movie, because it was really wonderful.
I'm going to organize like an annual reunion dinner. I think that's essential.
Bree, I think you promised us a really nice romantic scene. Remember where Seth and I get to make love in a comfortable bed without having any sort of...
You're like wrapped by 4 p.m.
The offer stands. Any of the studios, any of the series, whatever you guys want, you just let me know and I will come and film it. But thank you guys as well. This, like I said, this film is it's the work of so many people, but you can see the power of Angela White and Seth Gamble in this, and like, it's incredible.
Seth,
I'm just so grateful for all this. This is just it's a surreal thing. Thank you, Bree and Angela. I loved it. So
fantastic. Yeah. Well, you guys can watch it on adulttime.com. And then just coming around the table real quick, just shout out your social media handles so that people can follow you if they aren't already.
Sure. I'm both on Twitter and Instagram at TheBreeMills.
I am on Twitter at SethGamble XXX and at Instagram at SethGamblePS.
I am on Twitter at Angela White and Instagram at TheAngelaWhite.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Randall. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you, all three of you. I know you guys are super, super busy. So thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for making a film that really matters and really, I think, changes people's perspectives about this industry. I think it's visionaries like you that really push everything forward and are changing, the way that people see us. And so super grateful to you for that.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys next week. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. If you like my podcast, please make sure to give me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It helps me a lot. If you're not listening to me on the iTunes platform, then you can support me in so many other ways. First of all, obviously, I would love it if you would join my Patreon. That's patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, where not only will all of the donations that I get go towards making this podcast better, but also I offer really, really cool perks in exchange for your support. Don't forget that I have a new podcast called My LA Porn Job that I am doing with my assistant Eva, and it is fucking hilarious, and it is available only on my Patreon for only $5 a month. So that's pretty, pretty cheap, and I promise we will make you laugh and we'll give you even more insight into this fascinating business that I work in. You can also join my Facebook group. Go to facebook.com/groups/HollyRandallUnfiltered to get access to other exclusive news about the podcast, as well as just join our community. Don't forget too that I videotape all of my podcast interviews, and you can access all of those at my YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/C/HollyRandallUnfiltered. You can also email us. HollyRandallUnfiltered@gmail.com. Or if you want to leave a voicemail to maybe ask a question for one of my upcoming guests, or just leave a comment or tell us a crazy story or anything that you want to say, you can call us at
424-216-6967. So please send us an email, leave us a Facebook message, leave us a Patreon message, leave us a voicemail, and we will maybe get back to you on the show, especially the new podcast that I'm doing with Eva, My LA Porn Job. We'll definitely be responding to some of your messages. And overall, we just want to hear back from you guys, want to know how we're doing, what you love about the show, what you hate about the show, who you want to listen to. All of that feedback is super valuable to help me make this show the best that it can be. One last piece of news. I plan on going to the 2020 AVN convention in Las Vegas, and I'm going to bring you this podcast live from the show floor. So that's another reason why I need your financial support, because that's going to be a very expensive trip for me. And I'm definitely not making the kind of income from the show yet to cover it, which is fine, but I hope to eventually get there one day. And with your help, I hopefully will. So thank you all so much for listening. Thank you guys for supporting. I appreciate you so much. And I'm still like kind of flabbergasted that this show has done as well as it has. And I'm just super grateful for all of you. Next week on the podcast, I am so excited to welcome back Kissa Sins. Next week on the podcast, I'm so excited to welcome back Kissa Sins. Last time we had her on, she talked about how she was in the middle of like shooting an insane amount of porn and just like how that was kind of all consuming her life and how much she was loving it. Well, now she's actually in a completely different part of her life. She is not shooting porn at the moment. I'm not saying she's retired, but she decided to take some time off and actually travel around the world and go diving. Free diving is one of her passions. And she's here to tell us about what her perspective, she's here to tell us about how her perspective has changed from having this little break and some of the amazing experiences that she's had on this incredible worldwide travel log that she's on. So I'm so excited to have Kissa back. Make sure that you come back next week for her on Holly Randall Unfiltered.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.